Hello and welcome to a special DLC slice of Adam and Chris's 60-minute speedrun. We didn't want to go over the 60 minutes with the last episode, so we thought we'll add a little bit of extra DLC. So I'm Chris, and welcome back to Adam. Hello.
Hello.
Because it's been
ages, isn't it?
It would be sacrosanct, I think, to break that 60-minute sort of tradition, wouldn't it? I was ready I was ready to cheat, but you brought me back on the straight and narrow, I think. So
did I?
Well, you did. You kind of did, yeah. So
well, I just agreed to do some DLC. I honestly thought we were just going to carry on recording, but I like the fact this is going to be a little bit extra,
a little bit different,
a little bit of a showette.
Yes. So, and plus, it just gives us a little bit more time to chat about any other shit as well, if we want to.
Yes.
So, not that we might fill the next hour, who knows? But we might just, like I said, well, you can tell us more about your bloody Switch, because I still haven't heard much about it. So, but anyway, where we left off in the last show was,
yes,
I'd got one last game to talk about, and I wanted to talk about it because I've played about nearly five hours of it so far, and I bought it a year ago.
Wow.
Which, I am, that's the thing, see, I'm not really buying any new games. I'm really curbing it. Sort of like my buying of new games, because I've got games from 2 years. I've still got bloody Elden Ring. I keep saying that every time. I bought Elden Ring on release and I still haven't played it.
Oh yeah, I've got Elden Ring. I've got Deathloop and Returnal. Never played either of them.
All right. So I completed Deathloop a while ago, and Returnal I have played but not completed.
I've got Persona 3. Not played that yet.
All right. Okay.
I've got some weird games I've never played, which I bought for no. I've got Armored Core 4.
Wow. Okay.
Or something of Rubicon, which I don't think it's the exotic fizzy drink, but it's a From Software robot game. Never played it. Don't know if I ever will, but I bought it for some reason.
I think the last one of those got good reviews, didn't it?
Yes it did. I don't recall when I bought it. I've got the disc, so I was like, all right, cool.
Just looking if I can see my what I've got on my hard drive at the moment, because I've got like I said, things that I want to play at, so I suppose top of that, I've still got to play bloody Split Fiction, but that's, you know, I need another person to play that with, and my daughter is difficult to pin down at times. Elden Ring, Returnal, Alan Wake 2.
I think at some point we should agree, because Remedy, yeah, it is Remedy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Control, all that. So I don't get on with them, and I got probably over halfway through Alan Wake 2 and I gave up. I think at some point we should play that, not together, but
consecutively.
We should agree. Yeah, let's make sure we get to the end of chapter 4 by the next time or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's not a bad show, because to be fair, after finishing Control, it put me off playing another Remedy game. And this has just been released on Plus as well, which, I know Control was, and I think this did relatively well, I think.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know. We'll see. But no, we can look to do that. I'm up for playing this at some point. So you just give me the nod.
Why is it that I know I'm not... I know if I finish it, I'm going to get to the end and go, that was so fucking annoying. But why do I want to play it? What is it about their game? Something interests me. I've never fucking enjoyed one.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. But A Plague's Tale Innocence, A Plague's Tale Requiem, I've got those on.
Oh, yeah.
Sniper Elite 5, because that was on Plus, I think. And I quite like the other Sniper Elite games. They're quite fun. Immortals of Avium, that was that EA game. First Person Magic Shooter, which didn't
never
do...
Never appealed to me, that one.
No, but again, I think that was on Plus, so... I try it. God of War Ragnarok, still haven't bloody played that.
Have you not?
No. Stellar Blade.
I've wanted to play that. I played a demo of it, but and I, I, I want to play it, but does it make me a deviant pervert?
It depends what costumes you put on her, I guess. And then Far Cry 6 I have got, and I still haven't finished. Resident Evil Village, because I want to play that in third person, because I got the DLC, let's see, for that, or whatever it was, you know, the update. Demon Souls, still haven't bloody finished
I've certainly played a good hour of it.
Of Demon Souls?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
The fucking release game almost for this fucking console.
Yes. And it looks amazing. And it's, you know, and I love Demon Souls, so I will have to play that at some point. And then I just downloaded some random games like, Psychonauts 2, I think that came out on Plus as well, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, I want to play that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mass Effect 2, because I finished the first one.
I've got to do Mass Effect 3, bollocks.
Yeah. Metro Exodus, I had that couple of years ago and still haven't.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She bought me that for Christmas 2 or 3 years ago.
Sonic Frontiers, I think that was still... I bought that when it was cheap, but then that's on Bloody Plus as well now.
Is that the weird open world one?
Yeah, yeah. Zombie, because I had that on the Wii U, but I wanted...
Oh, God, I tried that, hated it.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's the same playing it on the PlayStation compared to like the Wii U, because the whole point of that was that you could use the tablet to do stuff. And so, you know, not having that would be not... great. So yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, like I said, I'm trying not to buy many games, but then to be fair, I can't think of many games that have appealed to me this year that I've thought, oh, I really want to buy that, or I've got to have it.
I know I'll be getting Ghosts of Yotei for Christmas.
Ah, right, yes. I mean, again,
because I enjoy Ghost of Tsushima quite a lot.
Yeah,
it feels like a good Christmas game. And obviously at the end of October my fucking nightmare starts again, because that's when Power Wash Simulator 2 is coming out.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, God. Imagine, though, if you hate it because they've changed it or something.
Yeah, I don't know how I'd feel about that. I don't know if I'd ever... I think that would be it. That's me and gaming done.
Mm.
And it's the same price as well. I mean, I never paid for it. I paid for the deal. Some of the DLC on the half-pricey stuff, but I've never bought the game because it was on Plus. But it's like 20 quid. It's like, well, if it's 20 quid, it gives me another 200 hours of... Fuck, I can't spend another 200 hours in it. Can I?
You could, I guess.
Can I?
I mean, next year's looking already kind of a bit insane. Obviously, you're going to have GTA coming out.
Oh, yes.
She's going to be mad. Resident
Evil 9.
Resident Evil Requiem. So this is the thing. Oh, yeah. I generally buy Resident Evil games on release because it's probably one of my favourite franchises, if not my favourite.
Yeah, no, I do the same.
So I will get that. But yeah, Wolverine, that was shown off. That's been given a release date now. Not a release date as such. It's a time frame of when that's going to be released.
Yeah, that'll be their biggest game towards the end of next year, I imagine.
But that will come. Next year's kind of looking a little bit mad in terms of some of the stuff that's been delayed from this year that's going to come out next year and it's been announced for next year. So,
in fact, your Power Wash thing is the worst thing that could come out because before I played that at the start of last year, whenever it was, I was doing quite well at just getting rid of some biggish games. Then that happened,
yeah.
And then I basically ceased doing anything other than playing that. So.
Yeah.
Fucking game. Jeez.
I mean, I can't imagine there's going to be many games released in May. GTA. Well, mind you, it's the 26th of May, so it's.
Everyone will be avoiding releasing next to that like the plague.
Yes. So, you know, games. I try not to buy too many because I've got loads to play already. And so, I mean, I didn't buy a Switch 2, which. Obviously, you did. Interesting to see. I mean, it's still breaking records in terms of sales and stuff like that, but
I don't know why.
Is the appeal... clearly, there is still an appeal there, but I don't know. Looking at it from the outside, the Switch was kind of quite a new and innovative console in as much as, I suppose, but I don't know. This just doesn't feel... particularly fresh, which I understand because it's an iteration of the Switch 1. So in terms of it's slightly different, like a bit more powerful, and also, you know, the Joy-Cons are different in terms of you know, their attachment, how they work and whatever, and how they fit together. But so, and this is no real benchmark, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying this, but Wayne had one on launch and he's sold it already. Now, that's not unusual for Wayne, because he does tend to buy stuff straight away and then sell it not a few months afterwards. But he says he got a bit bored of games like Donkey Kong Bonanza and Zelda and stuff like that. And I don't know. Just it doesn't appeal to me at all. I don't know if it's because of my age or just kind of where I am with gaming at the minute. Don't know. Tell us. Give us a bit of skinny on the Switch 2.
Right. Well, I had a pre-order because me and Becca went halves on it. And I had a pre-order and it was 2 days before it was coming out. And I said, do you know what? I can't be bothered. Can't be bothered having it, because really, what is there? Mario Kart and Donkey Kong, which I'm not particularly interested in. And I said, there's nothing else. And I'm all Mario'd out after the Switch, because obviously with the Switch, I had all of the Wii U games that came out in it as well. And then Animal Crossing was a thing during the pandemic. I think if you take Animal Crossing out of the equation, I don't think the Switch does half as well. Perfect timing. I reckon Nintendo did COVID. I think they made it. Because I wouldn't put it past the sneaky fuckwits. Oh, I don't like them. I really don't like some of their practices. I think they're arseholes. But I think it's mainly because they get away with it. Everyone whinges about everyone else doing anything. But Nintendo get away with just daylight fucking robbery all the time. Apart from Microsoft, they've had a bad few weeks, haven't they? Putting up the price of their Game Pass Ultimate by 50%, etc.
Yeah.
That's painful. But anyhow, yeah, I mean, I have the thing.
Again, just go back to that. You could see that coming as soon as they spent billions on buying fucking Activision and
Call of Duty.
The prices were going to go up at some point, weren't they? Because, you know,
they had to
recoup their costs.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah, because their whole model is based on, we can spend all this money because we're going to be the best-selling console the world's ever seen. And they seem to have shit the bed.
And that's not happened, has it, at all? Because, no. I mean, in fact, it's in doubt whether or not they're going to release a new console, I read the other day. And, I mean, are they going to just go their way of Sega now?
Don't know. I think they'll end up like a 3DO, won't they? I think they'll be an Xbox something, but I don't think they'll necessarily be making it themselves. But, they're in a bit of strife. Anyway, we had this pre-order, and I convinced her we don't need it. Let's just cancel the fucking thing, because are we going to play it? Really, are we? She was like, oh, but Mario Kart be fun. And I said, yeah, it will be fun for a bit, and then we won't play it anymore. All right, we'll cancel it. So you cancelled it. And then the day it was released, just because I like to know what's going on. And I don't think it was fear of missing out. I think it was just the novel fact that when I looked, they were just readily available because it had been, PlayStation and Xbox, again, they came out round about pandemic time-ish. So they were really hard to get hold of. Or the manufacturing slowed down, so they were a bit of a struggle to get hold of, unless you pre-ordered. And it was just intrigued. I just didn't go, I could just go, on the way to work, I could just nip to Argos and buy one.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. Right. As the machine itself goes, it's all... Right, it's a much better version of the Switch than the Switch. From a standpoint of silly little things, like if you use the kickstand's better. The Joy-Cons are much better that they click in than those crappy rails, which, I mean, I think I'd only had my original Switch about 6 months, and if I tried to use it in handheld mode, A, it was uncomfortable because there's no ergonomics on the Joy-Cons at all. B, I tend to hold things quite tightly, so I must have started to bend the rails. So it became really fucking impossible to play in handheld mode because at least one of them would be constantly disconnecting. And that was irritating. I did try and have a look and try and bend it back. It never seemed to work, though. And obviously you've got Joy-Con drift, all that bollocks. And you'll still have that because they haven't improved that. But from an ergonomic standpoint, there's a bit more to the Joy-Con, so they're nicer. They click in. They feel a lot more solid. The screen's nicer. The materials feel a bit more premium-ish. Although I still don't really use it handheld. So that's nice enough. The screen appears to be quite nice when you look at it. Much better screen than the original Switch. but the it's quite smeary as far as motion goes. I don't know if whatever the refresh, I know they say it's like 120 hertz. I don't know what it is. I don't know the technical term of it, but it all feels a bit cloudy when you start moving it around. It's like the screen just doesn't respond quick enough.
Mm.
So it's a bit of a mess. Like if I compare that to like the PlayStation Portal, much better. That the clarity of movement on that's way, way better. But also, it would have been nicer if it had bunged an OLED on it, just because regardless of how good the LCD screen will be, or the LED, whichever one it is, it's never going to have that contrast. And obviously, you've got the Switch OLED, which has got much better contrast. It's probably a better screen, but it's on a much weaker console. So they should have probably just gone straight in for OLED, because people were going to buy it anyway if they're not 30 quid on the price. Because it, you know, expensive compared to the Switch, but if you look at everything, you got a PS5 at launch as well, did you?
Yes.
Exactly. You're now in the sale, you can now buy them maybe at the price that we paid on launch day, because console prices have just gone up.
Yes.
And it's mad. So is it the 2 terabyte Xbox Series X in America is like $850?
Jesus Christ.
Which is fucking insane. It's mad. But, you know, things have gone up, as we all are well aware. But it's crazy to think that these consoles will never come down in price. They're always, at best, you'll get them at launch price now. It's bananas. Where was I going? Oh, yeah, they could have. So they probably could have knocked a bit. You know, Switch seemed expensive, but they probably could have bunged an OLED screen in. But Nintendo are too tight, because they'll say, we want to make as much possible from each console from day one. They're not willing to take a loss or anything like that, or make anything less, which is kind of admirable, probably while they've been around for ages, but it does feel like they've stinged out in a couple of areas. So console itself, yep, much nicer version of the original Switch. Because Nintendo can't do fucking anything properly, like online chat or online gaming or anything which makes any sense, I was half expecting the transfer from the Switch to the Switch 2 to be an absolute clusterfuck. And against all my expectations, transferring my Switch 1 to my Switch 2 was a piece of piss. And it just did it and it worked, which I really was not prepared for. So that was nice. And then I've played 3 games on it since I've had it. Super Mario, I think it's Super Mario Kart World.
Yes.
Which for me is almost like the perfect distillation of things that Nintendo make look well good when you see the adverts, and then the reality is, oh, it's, dare I say it, fucking lazy. Is it a good Mario Kart game? It's a fine Mario Kart game. Like, if you take, it's got the same Grand Prix, fucking nut, acorn, mushroom, star, rainbow, whatever. Same kind of, you know, standard cup races. You've got 8 of them, like you always have done, or maybe 12, can't remember, but whatever. 8 of those. Stupid amount of races this time. Sorry, there's 24 races on a track, which is nice. In multiplayer, in single player, it's a ball ache, because it does get magnificently chaotic if you're playing in multiplayer, because you could be in 18th, then you could be in 3rd, then 15th, and then I probably don't mind it because I always beat Rebecca on it, so I don't care. But it's quite funny going, I'm right behind you, then you hear some noise, it's like, oh no, I'm 21st. It's like,
does it have the rubber banding stuff still?
Oh good god, of course it does. Everything you hate about Mario Kart's there. Rubber banding, blue bastard shells, only more of them, because there's more of the fucking races you can throw them at you. And they seem to time it even worse. I've lost several races in real life 10 foot from the finish line because someone just blue shelled me. Then you go up in the air, wiggle around, you land basically on the finish line, and some smug little fucking bell end just drives past you. It's very annoying. I get furious playing Mario Kart quite often because I don't like the unfairness. It's the same as when I had Mario Party on the Switch for about 2 days.
Mm.
We played a few games of it, and I quite like the game itself, and then it does the, right, cool, you won. Now we're going to award random amounts of stars to random fucking players. And I never won a game, even though I'd won every fucking game, because I just got all the bonus stars went elsewhere. It's like, oh, decided to award your character for having red shoelaces 15 stars. What? But now I've lost. Fucking Nintendo. Yeah, I like the look of it in the trailers, and it's like, oh, we can have this open world thing, and you think there's quite a lot they could do with that. Obviously, it doesn't have to be like a Zelda world, but there's plenty of stuff you could do driving around, just doing things. But what it amounts to is, here's the map. It's kind of its own mode, but you just press, I think, the minus button or something when you're on the main menu, and your character just zooms into wherever they are showing on the splash screen. You drive around, find some blue switches, collect some coins, do a couple of fly things. That seems to be about it. It just seems like a waste for how they were describing it. You could go anywhere, do anything. And then they did that thing, you know, where you could meet up with all your friends and they've all got Switch 2 cameras and you could all laugh and have fun while you drive around this tedious, empty world where there's nothing to do. So that was disappointing. I also thought from the... Well, probably my fault, but from some of the trailers and whatnot, I like the idea that, you know, if you're doing a Grand Prix, you have a race and you have to drive to the next location, which to me sounded like, cool, right, there's a track. You drive around that, and then when you finish that race, you have to drive to the next track, which isn't really strict. It's not true at all, because the track is... You get one race, which is like in a traditional track, so three laps or whatever of I don't know, Baby Mario's Bum Circuit 5 or whatever. And then it's basically point-to-point racing for the rest of the Grand Prix. And that's not what I had in my head. What I had in my head was circuit, little doodah to the next circuit, and then another one to the next circuit. You know, you could do a bit of extra in between, but it's just circuit... Wiggly line, wiggly line, wiggly line, done. And that's kind of disappointing. The tricks and that, while nice and grinding and everything, it's nice if you're really bothered, but I'm not. I can't be asked to learn it, really. It's a bit too tedious to do the open world thing and memorise where you're supposed to go. You can go out and learn the tracks. I was like, well, I can't really, because there's no way of putting a map. There's no way of like putting a checkpoint or anything on, or selecting a route so it shows you a route either on a map or, I don't know, by some on-screen thing so you can practice, you know, a course if you really want to. There's none of that. So you just have to kind of learn it off the back of your head of where the course actually is, so you can learn the shortcuts and all that kind of stuff. So there's none of that. So you can collect costumes and characters and stuff in the open world, but there's no... When you go to the open world map, it doesn't mark off anything that you've already got. So you can't tell. It'll say like, oh, there's 1,000 blue switches. There's 50 blue switches in this one area. Excellent. I've got 20 of them. It doesn't mark off on the map where the 20 you've got are.
Mm.
So you're always going to be driving around blindly, hoping to stumble into something. So that's kind of tedious. Having a great Nintendo design. Every couple hundred coins you get in the races, you unlock another character and or vehicle and or costume. You'd think, you'd be like, right, character, I want to choose Mario. And then I want to choose this costume for Mario. Oh, no. The character select screen, it's like, oh, you've got Mario. Right, cool. Where's Cowboy Mario? Okay, I'll press the shoulder button 15 times to get to Cowboy Mario, because it only shows, like, six characters on a screen at once, but it has all of the costumes as separate characters at the end of the character list that you have to scroll through every time if you want something different, which is stupid design. Too many carts again. You have to tedium of scrolling through. I mean, it's like Rebecca likes to look at everything multiple times, and sitting there watching her eventually choose a character. Eventually choosing a costume, if she decides she wants a different costume, then choosing the right cart with it, looking at every stat, seeing what's going on with that. Oh, yeah.
You should go off and make a cup of tea. That's your sort of cue.
Cup of tea. I'm halfway through the Sistine Chapel. At its core, as a Mario Kart game, multiplayer, it's fun. because the extra races do add something. When you're on the right side of it, it's quite fun. When you're on the wrong side, it's incredibly tedious. But we played it a few times. I think we played through everything twice and I haven't gone back to it since.
Right.
So it's kind of exactly what I expected of America, but only this one promised more, but it delivered the same, as far as I'm concerned. I then bought Donkey Kong Bonanza.
Ooh, yeah. Wayne was all over that initially, but then he dropped off it.
Yep. Because it made by the team that did Super Mario Odyssey, and I loved Super Mario Odyssey. Thought that was a really interesting Mario game. Good fun. This... right, you play Donkey Kong. Obviously, it's a third person. Not really a platformer. Kind of, but not. The big thing being you can destroy everything. Fine. You can smash all of the scenery up, apart from metal things, which you need to... You can break most of them if you've got some special Donkey Kong power or whatnot. You've got a Pauline with you who can sing, which amounts to she unlocks gates for... How can I try? Right, every single world is the same, but with a different colour palette. There's an open area, a bit like a... I suppose like a Mario Sunshine-esque level. Within there are fossils to find by hitting the walls and stuff. You can spend fossils on upgrades to your abilities, like a mini RPG element, I suppose. The costumes to buy on every level, which specifically give you bonus stats for that level. So it might be, this level's got cold water in it. If you buy these trousers, then the damage you take in cold water is reduced by 40%. Cool. But then obviously in the next level is a different sort of hazard, so to buy different trousers. I was having fun with this. The opening, the tutorial level before the credits roll is absolute bollocks. It's brown and ugly. It's in more enclosed spaces. The camera throws a bit of a fit quite often. Especially when you're tunneling underground, it kind of goes to... So you're sort of seeing a shadow. The camera doesn't really know where to go. I mean, you're never quite lost, but it goes a bit twitchy. And getting out, if you don't hit a perfectly straight tunnel, you can climb to... So if you've buried underground and you're burying up, then if you don't do it perfectly straight, there could be a little bit of an overhang in the tunnel. And if you try and crawl up that, you fall off. So then you have... Just repeatedly getting back to the surface can be irritating. But yeah, it's ugly, the first stage. Doesn't make much sense. And then it does open up, because the idea is that you're burrowing to the core of the planet. Each level's not... So every level's set underground, but it doesn't look like underground because for some reason there's like skies or things that look like skies. So you're constantly diving deeper. Ground gradually gets harder, so it takes more punches to destroy stuff. But you just power yourself up, so it ends up being the same. Also, the main idea is there's some shitty other monkey thing. I don't know if it's Chaos Kong or something, but it looks more like a marmoset. he's done some stuff that turns things purple. Once you've got Pauline, she can sing and get rid of purple stuff, which, yay. So there's like every level, right? You've got main level, which is just things to break. There's usually a contraption in the world that you've got to fix by hitting stuff and breaking things. Once that's fixed, you go to the next level down of that level. And then there's some big giant zebra or ostrich or another monkey, ape. You have to do something for them, build a magic record. Kong and Pauline sing. You get a timed ability that you can use to let you fly as an ostrich monkey, hit things harder as a power monkey, or run across stuff as a zebra monkey. Ape, sorry. So it's like basic... No power-ups. The idea is you get power-ups and you can go back up the levels and reach areas that you never could before, because what you're actually trying to do is get bananas. It's bananas that, give you the power-ups, not the fossils. The fossils buy you clothes and stuff. So there's thousands of bananas to collect. You can find them just by hitting the ground. Sometimes they're just buried underneath the ground, or they're under a pot, or hidden inside some fruit, or inside a cliff or a cave. It plays all right. It's just, I think I'm on about the sixth or the seventh level, and every level's the fucking same.
Mm.
It's always do this thing with a different coat of paint on a level with a different coat of paint. Find these two types of stage you can find. You know, like in Mario Sunshine, where you got those like little puzzle stages hidden away in the levels, with like little mini Mario levels within. They're not the open levels.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those? Void worlds? Things a bit like that, apart from some of them are just combat-based, so you've got 30 seconds to beat up five things and you get a banana. Another one might be a little level based on one thing, like, ice skating or something. You beat that and there's three bananas to find, and then you get your bananas, and then hurrah. Every five bananas, you get a power-up point. Then you can make yourself punch harder, give yourself an extra heart of life, a couple of other bits and bobs, or power up your power-ups, which is fine. It's just it's the repetitive nature of it. It's very scatty. I think it's a bit... For a Nintendo game, it feels sort of unpolished. So the camera's never quite great. For me, Mr. Kong feels a little bit sluggish. The repetitive nature of the levels, like I said, is there's like one thing to fix or a building to go into. You dive down there's a boss, you beat the boss, you go up, it opens up a hole, you dive down into the next level. And then it's like, oh, cool, this level's got green grass on it now rather than purple grass in the last one. Sweet, what am I doing? All right, there's a factory that's done something to something. I've got to go into the factory and make that stop being a bastard. Now I've got to dive down to the next level, stop something else being a bastard. Oh, there's a boss. I'll hit that until it dies. Cool, holes open up. I'll dive down to the next level. Oh, look, this one's a snow level. Cool, what have I got to do? Oh, there's a thing over there producing too much snow, so I've got to go in there, beat that up. Then dive down to the next level. There's another thing I've got to duff up. Oh, look, there's a boss. I'll hit that. Cool, holes open up. Right, I'll dive down there. Where am I now? It's just that the whole way through so far. Like I said, there was a period of about 4 hours or so I was quite enjoying it for its sort of mindless nature. And the last time I turned it on, I was like, I can't be bothered. But I probably should finish it. I don't think I'm too far from the end. But it's just, whatever spark something like Mario Odyssey had, that's missing for me personally. And it just becomes rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. And I don't, you can get extra things for finding every banana. I can't be bothered to find every banana because I can't be bothered just to basically punch the entire level into oblivion.
Yeah.
It's fun for a while, but it just gets messy and repetitive and a bit tedious.
Yeah.
So that's what I think of that.
Yeah. Not selling it to me, I have to say.
Right. How can I put it? There's nothing fundamentally wrong with it, apart from it's a bit untidy for my liking. But if I compare the fun I've had, because it's so messy in what you can do, and just... destroying the level seems like fun, but if that's what you based your entire game on, it's going to run out of steam. If I compare the fun I've had with that, say the fun I had with Astro Bot.
Yes.
Astro Bot's just like a fucking razor blade, just knows what it wants to be, knows what it wants to do, does it, and it does it fucking well. This kind of has an idea what it wants to do, doesn't know where to expand on it, and just kind of, flaps about a bit, I think.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's all right.
What else have you got on it that you've been playing?
I want to play Hades 2, but I don't know whether to wait until that comes out on PlayStation, probably next year. Because at the end of the day, it will be a better version of it eventually when it comes out. But that's the problem with the Switch. I won't buy any third-party games on it because there ain't going to be much on there that isn't available on the PlayStation, and it will be better and probably cheaper on the PlayStation. But only other game I played is called And Roger.
Okay.
And it's about an hour long.
Right.
And it's... I don't want to give it away. It's like a weird semi-sort of visual novel-y kind of thing. Very simple graphics. Tells the tale of a female and a person called Roger. There's no real puzzles in it. It kind of tells a bit like a storybook split into three chapters. And it really does amount to moving the stick around a bit, almost like a point and click game, pressing on screen buttons, which pop up and sometimes pop up furiously and weirdly and oddly. But it's just about the story it's telling, because it deals with something pretty fucking hardcore and grim.
Okay.
And I think it does tremendously well. And it's in making me feel something by, like I said, an hour long, by far the best thing I've played on the Switch 2 in some respects. For gameplay, not really. But for what it's trying to do, it knows exactly what it's trying to do, and it does it exceedingly well. But again, if it's, I guessed what it was going for probably just after chapter one. And I was like, oh, right, I get this. And because of what, you know, it, the, how hard it hits depends on, I suppose, your life experience as much as anything. If you've been affected by what it's on about, yeah, it's pretty, it's, it, it can punch pretty hard. If you haven't, maybe not so much. I think they borrowed a lot of ideas from an episode of BoJack Horseman, if you've ever seen that.
And I've heard you talk about it, and yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it borrows a lot from an episode of that, which is probably why I caught up onto what it was going on about, because it is quite confusing straight out of the gate after about 10 minutes, like, because things seem to change and he doesn't quite figure out why. Once you know what it's doing, it's like, oh. I think it cost me £2.42 or some weird Nintendo price in a sale. And if you do have a Switch and you don't mind a weird little game for 45 minutes that might actually fucking hit you right in the feels, I think that's what young people would say, then yeah, give it a go. It's quite devastating.
Is it Switch exclusive or is it anything else?
I have no idea.
I'm just having a quick look. I can't see it. It's on PC, but
yeah, I'm not entirely sure where I found it, or I think it might. I don't know why I bought it. Why did I buy? I think I might watch the trailer, and I was intrigued because I like the occasional weird little odd game. Wasn't entirely sure what it was about, so I thought it was £2. I could barely buy a Freddo for that anymore, so what's the worst that could happen? I've spent far more money on stuff that I fucking hate. So
yeah.
£2 whatever, I'll give it a whirl, and it was excellent.
I can't see, it's not on PlayStation by the looks of it, so that's a shame.
Yeah.
It's
kind of sad that that's the most interesting thing I've played on the Switch 2.
Yeah. So I mean, you've got it now, but what are your thoughts about, are you going to carry on? Obviously, I'd imagine you'll keep it, because you don't need to sell it as such. But, I mean, no, is there anything you're excited for?
Not really.
No.
Not that I know of. This is the surprising, well, it's not a surprising thing. I should have known this. Like, everyone's like, oh, they've released so many games for the Switch. But half of them were Wii U games that no one bought, because no one bought a Wii U.
Yeah.
Take that out of the equation. They started off with a Mario and a Zelda. I didn't like that particular Zelda. I didn't like the follow-up either, but that was like the last big game for it. It was the second Zelda game. And I didn't really like the last 2D Mario, that Mario Wonder. I didn't really like that either particularly. And in between that, it was all the Wii U stuff. But I think a lot of people, A, got sidetracked by Animal Crossing when we weren't allowed outside, and B, just got sidetracked or just ignored the fact that half of the catalogue of games that people were saying were wonderful were never actually made for the Switch in the first place. So if you actually look at how quickly Nintendo releases games, they don't do it very quickly. I mean, no one does at the moment, but they never have done. So I'll be interested to see where this is in like a year, 18 months time.
Yeah.
Because it is a nice version of the Switch, but and people are like, oh, it can play games. It's got Harry Potter and all that stuff on it. But at the moment, it's got Cyberpunk on it. Cool, it's got Cyberpunk. I'm glad it's got something like Cyberpunk on, but I'm not going to pay £50 for a Switch 2 version.
Yeah, and I don't
care if it's got good DLSS. It's not as going to be as good as the PS5 version.
And I don't think they are selling particularly well either, like the third party games.
No,
which
I think they're too expensive on there, because very few people are going to have a Switch 2 as their main console at the moment.
Yeah.
I'd say a majority of it's going to be second consoles. And because anyone who's only like a moderate gamer who got into the Switch, they're happy with the Switch. You know, again, they probably bought it for Animal Crossing and don't know what else really. But they're not going to fork out £400 for a new version. when they can't play a newer version of the game that they got it for in the first place.
Mm.
And there's, you know, really weak launch lineup, I think. Yeah, just Mario Kart, which turned out to not be really what they were selling.
Yeah.
As how good it was. Good enough, but not great by any stretch of the imagination. So as to where it'll be in 12, 18 months when the third party stuff dries up and you're just relying on Nintendo when they won't be releasing as many games as they were on the Switch, without being real grotty about it, because, you know, well, they've just re-released Mario Galaxy 1 and 2.
Oh, yes, yes.
I got Mario Galaxy in that, again, stupid, oh, fucking Nintendo, when they did that short release cartridge of, was it Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy 1?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I've got that, and you've also got Bowser's Fury, whatever it was. Now, or you can buy them separately, but I'm sure they re-released Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 on the Wii or something. Not the Wii. Did they do it on the Wii U? Or they've been on the old Nintendo shop before for about 15 quid. Now they're charging, is it $29.99 each? Or you can buy two for the bargain price of 55 quid.
Hmm. Yeah. The
I don't like feeling, I mean, I'd like to play Mario Galaxy 2. I don't know if I want to pay 30 quid for the privilege.
No. Looking at the Switch, didn't have a great launch lineup either. I think, yeah, Breath of the Wild,
it's
obviously.
It had 1-2 Wii or
whatever. 1-2 Switch, yeah.
Oh, that's the one, yeah. It'd be weird. We call 1-2 Wii, wouldn't it?
And I think that was, I mean, those are the main ones, really. So that didn't have a great launch lineup either. Metroid's coming out in December. Are you interested in that?
I had Metroid, which one is it? Metroid, what's it called? Metroid what? Not Metroid Exodus, not Metroid Fusion. What's it called? Metroid?
I don't know.
Prime? No.
There is a Prime.
Is it Metroid Prime? Is it just called Metroid Prime? Whatever, the 3D Metroid. Yeah, I bought the first one on the GameCube and didn't really get on with it too much. Too much scanning for my liking.
Mm.
And I've never been a big Metroid fan. I really don't know why I bought a Switch. but yeah, no, probably not. So I'll probably keep an eye out. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, at the time when I got the Switch, and PS4 was chugging a bit. There seemed to be a lot of cool indies on the Switch. But everything's, you know, I don't really do handheld, and they'll be cheaper and better on the PS5. Yeah. And I loved Hades, and I really want to play Hades too. But I'm more than willing to wait to get the version that will load a lot quicker and probably be like better resolution, run a bit better, whatever. Because the loading times are a lot better. They are infinitely better than the Switch.
Yeah.
But you know, that's been the biggest thing about this generation of consoles for me. It's just been the difference in load times compared to the PS4.
Yeah.
Mainly.
Yeah, definitely.
Once you've got it, you can't go back.
No. No.
It's impossible.
I know. Well, I mean, again, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. If anything, I have been tempted by buying a PlayStation Portal at some point, potentially, but that's the only thing, really. But, I don't know. In a bit of a weird space, I think, with the games at the minute. Like I said, I'm not really buying anything new, because I think, I don't know, to get to a point where you've kind of experienced a lot of things, and a lot of the games that are coming out now, I mean, this is no different, because this is where it was like 10 years ago, like remakes of games that, you know, you enjoyed, and it's hard, I don't know, I'm not, I went through last year, I think it was, more of a funk with it all, that I couldn't be bothered with it, so, and it felt like a real slog to play some games, whereas, and this year's not too bad, but I don't play as often as I did, so I suppose I try and appreciate it more, but...
Yeah, no, I'm not in a funk, but yeah, time's a thing, but I think it's because I've reached that point, I've got so many games that I haven't played at all, or properly, that... I'm not in a rush. I'm not in a not in a rush, and I've sat there going, I'll buy Power Wash Simulator 2. Of course I will, because I put a stupid amount of hours into that. Will I buy Grand Theft Auto 6 when it comes out? Absolutely. Will I buy Resident Evil? Absolutely. Anything else? I'll see. But I went through a phase of just going, what game's coming out this week? Cool, I'll buy that. Especially like indie stuff on digital. It's like, oh, that's coming out this week. I'll pre-order that. Yeah, I'll have that. I'll have that. I'll have that. Just set up with a backlog of stuff I've not played. So they're not going anywhere, really. So
no.
As and when I fancy one.
And I think that's the thing that I've finally realised after all these years is that they're just not going anywhere. And like the game I'm going to talk about in a minute, I've just read somewhere, I typed it into Google, it's like it's rumoured to come out on Plus next month. And it's like, oh, fucking brilliant. And that's happened with a lot of games that I've, you know, you leave it 12 months and then it comes out on Plus. Or, you know, and you think, I mean, Alan Wake 2, it's like... I think I bought that when that was cheap. I could have saved my money, you know?
Yeah, I think I bought that with a PlayStation voucher I got Christmas before, I think. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Time's all gone weird. I can't remember what year it was, but I bought that when it was in its first sale, I think, over Christmas.
Yeah.
And again, not played it. Could have waited free.
Yeah.
Returnal, bought that as soon as it came out. Been free on PS Plus for about 18 months now.
Yeah.
Two years even.
So save your money and buy something else instead, or just save it. So go on a day trip or a holiday or do something different.
Yeah. Unless you've got nothing to play. If you've got nothing to play, congratulations, you've done well.
Yes.
And I could never buy a game again and I'd still never finish all the stuff that I've got.
Yeah. 100%.
But I will buy something.
Well, we've already said you'll end up buying GTA and Hades 2 and whatever.
And Resident Evil.
So
even though I thought Resident Evil 8 was shit, Village was bobbins, I'll still buy Requiem.
Yeah. See, I didn't mind it that much. And I am looking forward to playing in 3D. I'm third person, I should say. I was going to play in VR, but again, obviously I can't know because I've sold it. But third person, I think, will be a different experience enough for me to enjoy it. Yeah. So
I like the first bit, and then it progressively got worse.
Mm.
I can't even remember what the second bit was. There's that bit with the baby, which was probably actually the best bit of the game, but it's really short.
That was creepy. Yeah.
There was the watery bit, which I didn't care for too much, with that blobby fella, and then that bit with the hammer dude, being a giant robot thing, but then you had all the cyborg things. I didn't really care for that either.
It was Lady Dimitrescu, was it, who everybody got excited about
in VR.
Anyway, so I like this time of year for playing horror games or those type of games, and third person games are generally my sort of thing I like. So I've had this for a little while, but I finally decided I was going to play Silent Hill 2.
I've heard that rumored to possibly be.
That's what I'm saying. I've heard that this is coming to Plus in a month's time.
I've had that on my wish list, and that for since it came out, because I've still got the original cardboard sleeve PlayStation 2 version somewhere.
Yeah, I had that one as well. I was going to ask you if you played it.
I played it for a good 90 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Because I wasn't in the mood for it, and I always wanted to go back to it, and for some reason didn't. And then when they did the re-release on, Christ, was that the Xbox 360 or was that the PlayStation 4? Can't remember. But they did a terrible remake, which seemed to have... all the fog seemed to vanish. Bobbins remaster or something.
Yeah.
So I never bought that. And then this came out. I thought, okay, I might give that a whirl now. And I've just held back off it. So it would just be a case of, I'll buy it, but when the fuck am I going to play it? But if I can get it for nothing.
Yeah. So
I'll do that.
Well, I played this. I have really vague memories of it. The only things I remember, and this is where I can, it's a bit like when we talked about Every Which Way But Loose and Every Which Way You Can or whatever it was. And you get conflate the two and you mix the two up, don't you? Because you think, oh, that scene's from that film, and actually, no, it was from the other film. And so I played Silent Hill 1 and Silent Hill 2. And then if I think about them now, all I can really remember is fog, nurses, sort of like weird monsters that have got legs for arms and arms for legs, pyramid head, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much...
I remember I rented Silent Hill 1 on the PlayStation from Blockbuster twice. I remember it had disconcerting camera angles that occasionally followed you round in a weird alleyway, and you got attacked by claw baby things. Then I got lost, and I think but that's about as far as I got. Even, but yeah, having never really played that much, then I bought two. I remember the Pyramid Head. You started a toilet, essentially.
Yeah.
You started a toilet, you walk down a cliff, find a building or something, you see Pyramid Head. I got lost. I think that's about it. But it still makes me want to play the remake for some reason.
Yeah, and I think this thing, the difference between this and the Resident Evil series is like the Resident Evil series has always cut, like, I suppose, like B horror movie style stuff, whereas this has always been felt a little bit more grown up and a bit more psychological, just in terms of the tone and the atmosphere. And that is true. So you play a character who's, you get a letter from your wife who died 3 years ago, and she's written to you and asks you to come and find her in Silent Hill. And so you do, and it's third person. The first thing, because I watched a few videos of what the original PlayStation 2 version looked like, and that at the time looked really good. I mean, that came out sort of 2001, but it still looked really good. And it's, you know, this is obviously an upgrade, and it does look really nice. And I think that it has had performance issues on the PlayStation 5 Pro, which I don't think they've still fixed. But I mean, there's two versions. You can have a performance version, or you can have a quality mode, which I think most games come with these days, don't they? Which I generally still play on performance, because I like to have a better performance as opposed to a slightly better looking game, because, you know, the performance still looks quite good, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think for me, it just depends on the sort of game, I think.
Yeah. So I did try it, and it runs at 30 frames a second. And again, I can't, I don't know, just find I struggle with it now. Like, I like to have that smooth sort of, and it's still, but it's not a very fast paced game as such. And so, yeah, you end up walking into the town and exploring it and meeting weird characters. And it sort of reminds me a little bit of that film, which I don't think you've seen, which, because I mentioned it before, John Carpenter film, In the Mouth of Madness, which is,
nope.
I think perhaps we'll have to pick that as one of our films at some point, because it's that sort of, the whole premise of that film is that you are an investigator and this author goes missing, and he goes to the town where this author essentially kind of steps into the story and what's reality and what's sort of, not, you know, horror and what's fiction and whatever, and sort of like blurs the lines between all of that. So, you know, you meet these people that initially seem okay on the surface, that but then beneath the surface they're just not, there's something not right about them. I've described as sort of very David Lynchian in terms of its style. And
well, coming from Norfolk, it's Norfolk Simulator.
So, you know, it's, and it's got some combat, because obviously you meet monsters and things on the way. So you initially have just a melee attack, and so you're swinging a piece of wood with nails in it around, and then you pick up a gun and other bits later on, and ammo's sort of, you've got it enough, but it still feels like you don't have enough, if that makes sense. So you always kind of feel like you're on the verge of, obviously if you're a careful shot, then generally you should be okay. I said you meet characters along the way. It's one of those games that I've played about 4 hours, and looking at how long to beat, I think it's about possibly 15, 16 hours. So it's not a massive game, but it's one of those games that I can't say I'm enjoying it, but I am, if that makes sense, because of the tone, because of the atmosphere.
Yeah, no, I get it.
It's not a pleasant game to play because it is dark and dirty, and you just don't, you feel unsettled. And I had some new speakers earlier on in the year, and they've got Dolby Atmos in them, and the, you know, they're really good, and sort of bounce off the ceiling and then bounce off the, you know, the walls and stuff. And when you crank that up, and there's like just this sense of dread all the time when you're playing it. Not that I'm scared of the monsters or whatever, because you can handle them generally speaking, but, and I haven't died yet by being killed by a monster, because there's generally enough space for you to either run away from them, although when you're in a building it can be quite claustrophobic, but there's just that, because you can't quite see everything in the distance, and that's that fog effect. And so it's dark, and because of the unsettling nature of the story and everything and the characters, it does feel quite claustrophobic to play. And so you do feel, it's a little bit like Dead Space, I suppose. You feel quite on edge, you know, you're almost like waiting for something to happen. And because you've got a radio that crackles whenever there's a monster or something that's around, it's that sort of sense of, oh, what the hell is it, you know? So the one thing I would say about it in terms of a criticism as such is that when you do get to a place, a building, when you're not walking around the street, so like, for example, it's a hotel or a hospital or something like that, it felt like I was getting a little bit lost, like you're just wandering around, not aimlessly, but there's some doors that you can open, there's some doors that you can't open, and then you have to find things to open other doors, and there's puzzles. And it just felt like you were spending a little bit too much time in one location, instead of the pacing mm-hmm. just feels a little bit off. But that being said, I mean, it's still, you know, fine. Apparently, is it Team Blooper who did that? What was that?
Oh, they've just released Kronos or something. Yeah,
that's not had great reviews, but apparently that's decent.
Didn't they do The Observer?
They did that. They did that one. Layers of Fear. That's the one I played. And Blair Witch. That Blair Witch game. So I didn't really play that, but. So they have done a good job. It looks really nice in places. Apparently, they've added new bits to the game, as well as sort of remastering some of the other stuff. I'm, like I said, enjoying it, sort of slash not enjoying it as such, you know, in as much as it, because of the kind of game it is. It's one of those games that's got famously lots of different endings, and in particular one weird ending. So I don't know what ending I'm going to get at the moment, but it's,
is that the dog one, or
the
that
dog and the aliens one? Yeah, and yeah, stuff like that. I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. Like I said, I remember certain aspects of it, but other aspects of it I don't remember. So I'll get through that. And then moving on from that, I've got The Evil Within 1 and 2 to replay, because I quite liked those when they came out, even though...
Played the first one for about 90 minutes.
Yeah, they're very Resident Evil-y, but they're... we'll see how I get with Evil Within 1, because I don't think that plays very well performance-wise. Yeah.
What about Silent Hill F?
Yeah, well, that's had good reviews as well. But again, I don't want to pay money for it as such, so I don't, you know, I'll get that at some point. I haven't really seen anything of it, other than it's got a little schoolgirl, or she looks like a schoolgirl on the cover kind of thing.
Well, that's even better, isn't it?
So anyway, remarkably, we have spent nearly an hour chatting.
Jesus.
Even though
I genuinely thought it'd be about 20 minutes.
Yeah, this is like slight DLC sort of thing, but it's actually another episode. So days. I think that's it for me. Have you got anything else you want to mention?
No, that's me done.
Very good. Okie dokie.
Next, well, God, if we take another month or so, get ready for the new power wash.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about that, actually. That'll be good fun. So, we will be recording our four upcoming episodes. Will be another episode of ACLP, and then we'll have some more movie shows coming out, and then we'll just see what we do before the end of the year and bang them out. Get it. Good way to sum it up, isn't it? We'll bang them out.
Yeah. Shit them out like a hot curry.
So hopefully we'll be a bit more consistent going forward. So that's all good. Well, thank you very much. I've had an enjoyable time chatting with you about video games.
Yeah, it's been lovely to hear your dulcet tones again, sir.
And yours. And we will see you later. If you check out the website 60mw.co.uk. It's got all of the shows and everything else that's on there, and we will see you very soon. So take care, everyone. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.